From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
People, I just do not get it. I don't. When the name was said across the airwaves into my living room, I scratched my head and said, "Who?" I didn't know who he was, folks. If you're like me, I'm pretty disappointed right now at the Lions pick in the NFL draft yesterday. A tight end? I just don't get it. I'm asking you all to call in. We're taking your calls throughout the entire hour, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. The Lions going with a tight end in the NFL draft. It was an interesting draft, to say the least, as many were, of course, other than the Lions pick around our more local feel. And many people were glued to their television to see where guys like Johnny Manziel would be drafted, who would be drafted first overall. Jadeveon Clowney answers the critics in that regard. But Eric Ebron, I mean, really, come on. You got the 16th worst defense in the NFL. You got beat countless times down the stretch in multiple games due to your terrible, terrible secondary. Matthew Stafford has already weapons left and right now with, you know, of course, Megatron, who's arguably the best wide receiver in the game, to Golden Tate. You just signed, which I have no idea why you did this, but you did it anyway. Brandon Pettigrew has already been signed to a four-year contract extension. Joseph Fourier, at the same position, had a great rookie campaign. You're solid at the running back position with Reggie Bush, and I just don't get it. You got weapons everywhere offensively, but you go ahead and draft another one. I just don't get it, folks. It really upset me and had me puzzled, as the Lions do every year. Every year, I feel like I'm scratching my head when it comes to their picks in the NFL draft. And if you're like me, I want to get your thoughts on this, because you know, it seems to be, even though the Lions did make this pick, it seems to be a consensus general reaction that the average Lions fan is certainly disappointed with this pick. But perceptions definitely vary across the board when you look in other areas nationally. I've seen a few writers saying that he's a playmaker, he's a possible game changer for the Lions. But we've read this song multiple times before. Why do the Lions need another playmaker when their defense is among one of the worst in the NFL? I don't get it. I want to get your thoughts on it. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I had to start the show off by getting that off my chest. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. A jam-packed show in store for you. After we talk about the Lions, in our second segment today, we have a unbelievable guest, Jalen Pryor, who is a member of the MSU track and field team. She's one unbelievable athlete, had one outstanding career campaign in her high school, throughout high school, and now into, of course, running for the green and white. We'll talk about the MSU track and field season, so you don't want to miss that interview. And, of course, we'll talk a few national stories here and there with Donald Sterling's wife. She does not want to give up her ownership of the Los Angeles Clippers. And Kobe wants in when it comes to the decision of the next head coach for the Los Angeles Lakers. Also, Reflection Friday is right around the corner. So much to talk about, so little time. We're asking you to chime in and give your thoughts on it again. 517-355-9527. All right, folks. Well, let's dive right into it. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, the Lions, they take Eric Ebron with the 10th overall pick. He's a tight end from North Carolina. I had to do some Googling when his name was announced by Roger Goodell at the draft. And he's a tight end. Again, I don't get it, because the tight end does not appear to be the major area of need for the Lions. Again, I'll say it again. It does not appear. It is not even appearance-wise. It is not the big area of need for the Detroit Lions. But they drafted him anyway. Again, tight end from North Carolina. He's pretty athletic. You know, has very good hands. He joins fellow tight ends in of course, Brandon Pettigrew, who they just signed to 4 years, and Joseph Fourier. He also joins other weapons such as Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, a free agent addition. This pick for me really had to do a lot about with saving Matthew Stafford's butt, covering his butt, because now if Matthew Stafford goes up and just mucks up a season, he has no excuses. He has no excuses, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But that was a Detroit Lions pick. Of course, there was a lot of chatter, and a lot of focus on Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel. as he waited pick after pick after pick after pick to see where he would be drafted to. And the Cleveland Browns were the recipient of Johnny Manziel, quarterback of Texas A&M. And, you know, it's pretty crazy because those first 5-10 picks, as it started to dwindle down, I went on social media and there were a lot of memes up there of Johnny just, you know, getting frustrated pick by pick by pick. And, you know, eventually he could call himself a first-round pick here. I started to get a little nervous. I didn't think he was going to be drafted in the first round after the pick started to dwindle down. But Cleveland certainly now has some resurgence of life there, if you will, and many people are going to flock out to see if Johnny Football can turn out to be the player that, you know, that he was in college. So we'll see how that pick goes. The number one overall pick went to Jadeveon Clowney, folks, as he got drafted by the Houston Texans. He's defensive end from South Carolina. A lot of hype over him as well. A very freakishly athletic player. And I feel like they showed that Michigan fumble in recovery on the highlight reel of his at least 20 times yesterday. Heck of a player, heck of a play, and I think he will certainly make a huge impact. The first QB chosen happened to be a surprise to me by the Jacksonville Jaguars. They selected a kid who I didn't know much about, and a kid who really looks to be very impressive. He definitely impressed in his combine, to say the least. Blake Bortles from Central Florida was the first QB selected, and you know, so we'll see how he pans out. But and Sammy Watkins was chosen 4 from Buffalo. 5 was linebacker Khalil Mack from, you know, a lot of interesting picks from a lot of different teams. So we'll break down the draft in just a second. Of course, dive into the Lions pick. Darqueze Dennard, of course, he can call himself a first-round pick as well, as he was drafted to the Cincinnati Bengals. How about that? So it was certainly exciting to see him on the big screen television with his family and friends. Of course, Dennard, an outstanding corner for Michigan State throughout his entire tenure for the green and white. So interested to see how he pans out into the NFL. So congrats to him. So we'll break down the draft and dive into it in just a sec as we finish up our quick hit headliners here. But those are some of the notable picks. Taylor Lewan was also drafted. Those are some of the notable picks that happened in the draft. We'll break it down in just a sec. Again, you can weigh in on it by calling in at 517-355-9527. All right, the Tigers, folks, they were in action yesterday. The Tigers' 8-game win streak came to an end, however, in the final game of their series versus the Houston Astros, losing 6-2 last night. Drew Smyly was outdueled by former University of Kansas roommate Dallas Keuchel. Now, he pitched 7 2/3 innings, striking out 7 and surrendering 2 earned runs. Smyly lasted 5 1/3 innings, giving up 3 runs and a homer to Astros rookie George Springer. Now, the Tigers will try and start a new streak tonight at home against the Twins, with Justin Verlander, JV, set to face Phil Hughes. And how about this? Trace McGrady. You know, we talked about this a few months ago. Trace McGrady trying to get his feet wet in the world of baseball. Well, I tell you what, Trace McGrady's baseball odyssey continues in Texas. And the former NBA All-Star is scheduled to make his first start for the Sugar Land Skeeters. That is a cool name. The Sugar Land Skeeters. Gotta love that. He makes his start on Saturday. The 34-year-old will be on a pitch count against the Somerset Patriots in his first action since an April exhibition game against Alvin Community College, where he gave up 3 hits in 1 inning of work. Interested to see how T-Mac comes out and throws. That should be a fun one to watch. And Kobe Bryant, folks. Lakers star Kobe Bryant told late-night talk show host Jimmy Kimmel that he'd like to be involved with the Lakers' search for a new head coach. Bryant said, quote, he honestly, quote, didn't care about former coach Mike D'Antoni's departure after 2 years in L.A., saying, quote, Mike was dealt a really bad hand in dealing with all of the injuries that he had here. This is a tough place, man. If you're not winning, you're not going to survive, end quote. Now, Brian is hoping to have more say in selecting the new head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, saying that he was not included in the last 2 search committees. So Kobe's a little salty about that and is going to make sure that his nose will certainly be in this search. So, all right. And how about this? Donald Sterling's wife, Shelly, the wife of Donald Sterling, she wants to maintain ownership of the team despite her husband's lifetime ban from the NBA. Now, she believes that she is legally entitled to the team and will try to hold on to the franchise. And she has retained a law firm to pursue that very goal. Now, Donald Sterling, again, banned for life by NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. Silver also vowed to force sale the team and fine Sterling $2.5 million after an audio tape published by TMZ showed Sterling making racist comments. So Shelly, his wife, is not giving up ownership, at least right now. So we'll see how that story pans out. That's interesting. All right, and the Players' Championship, folks. The Players' Championship has begun. It started yesterday. And after the first round, Gurman Martin Kamer leads the tournament at 10 under and holds a 3-stroke lead. So how about that? It's an odd leader right there. I mean, I did not expect him to lead the pack. But behind him are Americans Russell Henley in second and John Hugh in third. Now, a lot of notable names are tied for fourth, which includes Sergio Garcia, Bubba Watson, Justin Rose, and Angel Cabrera at 5 under. So play has already begun in the second round. We'll keep you updated throughout the hour on how that is panning out as we speak. And former Ohio State football coach Jim Tressel will be the next president of Youngstown State University. Now, the Board of Trustees voted unanimously today to offer the position of president to Tressel. Tressel returns to the Mihang Valley Conference, where he coached at Youngstown State from 1986 to 2000. So there you have that. Jim Tressel making moves there. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you know the number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin. WKAR. Well, let me continue to get this off my chest. Matt Lucky now joins me. Alex Shari is going to weigh in on this as well. I tell you what, Matt, I'm pretty frustrated. Every year it seems as though with the Lions draft, and this is just another one I can add to the list, as the Lions had the 10th pick in the NFL draft and decided to draft a tight end of all positions. Why? I don't get it. I never understand the Detroit Lions when it comes to the NFL draft. You have the 16th worst defense in the NFL. We saw many, on numerous occasions, the Lions not able to stop anybody through the air, and you decide to beef up the tight end position. Yeah, I'm puzzled. What were your take on it, man?
Oh, Al, you're not the only one who's puzzled. I guess I can kind of see what they were thinking here, and the big thing for me is it's a new coaching regime. Mm-hmm. Jim Caldwell has an offensive background. So this is kind of them coming in and saying, we know how to coach offense. This is how you do it. We're going to help ourselves right here. Now, Joe Lombardi, the offensive coordinator, was a coach in New Orleans. They have a guy by the name of Jimmy Graham, who is one of the most unstoppable players in the league at the tight end position. I kind of think they envision a similar type of player in Ebron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can also see that the two picks before, Oklahoma State's Justin Gilbert goes to the Browns at 8, and Anthony Barr gets scooped up by the Vikings at 9. I would have preferred to see either of those two. Honestly, when you look at the rest of the draft, I would have preferred to see anyone from picks 13 to 19 instead of Eric Ebron. I mean, You had guys like Aaron Donald, Kyle Fuller, Ryan Shazier, Zach Martin, CJ Mosley, Calvin Pryor, Juwan James. It just seems odd that they would go for Ebron. I understand they're trying to get as many weapons as possible to
need,
stretch
though?
The field.
I mean, how many do you need?
That's
really
the question. And really, like you mentioned, signing Brandon Pettigrew to a 4-year, $16 million deal to now just be a blocker, you're paying your backup tight end $4 million a year.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
It makes no sense at all.
You're either paying your backup $4 million a year to play tight end, or you just spent the number 10 pick on a backup tight end.
I don't get it. Exactly.
What is the thought process there?
And if you look at Brandon Pettigrew's career, I mean, Brandon Pettigrew has certainly had a lackluster career. We've seen him drop the ball countless times.
I've seen him drop the ball when he has it in his hands
and hand it
to the other team.
Countless times. Brandon Pettigrew is awful. I'm surprised he's still rocking a Lions jersey. And then you look at Joseph Fourier, though, who's the light at the end of the tunnel in this whole conversation, because he plays a tight end position. He was great last year. Great. Turned a lot of heads. Showed that he can make passes and make a play happen after he catches the ball down the field. I mean, he's a great young talent. Why complicate things by drafting Eric Ebron, who you don't need?
Right. And the Lions, granted, they did have success when they trotted out, you know, the package with Tony Scheffler and Brandon Pettigrew. But I can't see them running three tight end sets. I just don't see it.
No.
Even though Ebron is kind of a hybrid, where he's a tight end wide receiver type player, it just doesn't seem like a personnel grouping that they're going to have out on the field that often. Why would you spend the 10th pick when you have such glaring needs? I mean, We're in the same division as the Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers and one of the most dangerous air attacks in the league. same division as Jay Cutler, who has Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall.
Exactly.
Why are we not trying to shore up the defensive backfield or the defensive line?
It makes no sense.
I would have liked to see him draft Aaron Donald.
Oh, yeah.
Put him on the line. I don't care if he plays defensive tackle.
Exactly.
Put as many talented guys as you can on the line and just go for it.
I said the same thing. I would have liked to see Aaron Donald or even Taylor Lewine. That would have been a great pick. I wouldn't have been quarrels with that.
Give me Zach Martin.
Zach Martin from Notre Dame is another one. I mean, and even, you know, even though, and Alex talked about this before the show, I would even like to see Darqueze Dennard. Why not Darqueze Dennard? He's the best corner in the game in college football last year. Why not go for him or give it some consideration? Ha ha, Clinton Dix is another one I would have liked.
Shazier.
We could go on and on here. I mean,
I would have rather seen him draft Johnny Manziel.
Exactly.
No, I'm just kidding.
We won't go that far. But I just don't get it, folks. I just don't get it. And, you know, I'm not saying that Ebron is a bad player here. I want to put that out there, too. He's athletic. Look at his highlight tape. He's athletic. Looks like he's got good hands. He had a solid college career. A lot of potential there. But the pick does not address the needs of the Lions, and I thought that's what the NFL is all about. The NFL draft is all about. I just don't get it. Alex has a different take. Alex.
Yeah, well, as much as the Lions could have used any other player on the board, there's Zach Martin, there's Aaron Donald. Yes, they already have a ton of defensive linemen. Why not make it great? I totally see that side. But for me, you guys got to give more credit to Ebron. I mean, this guy, aside from Sammy Watkins, this guy is another big, really good playmaker to put on the line with Stafford. And keep in mind, Pettigrew, you're paying on the block. This isn't a blocker. This is a guy who's got a wide receiver frame. He's a fast tight end. He's got that Tony Gonzalez kind of reception kind of thing to him. So I'm looking for him to be a big target for Stafford, even over Golden Tate, I would say.
Alex, I want you to answer this 100% honestly with me. 100% real. Be real with me here.
Okay.
Did the Lions need to draft Eric Ebron with the 10th pick in the draft?
Keyword being need. It was a need. I don't think it was the number one need. Because the thing about the Lions is, as much as Calvin Johnson is the best receiver in the league, you acquire Golden Tate, you have Brandon Pettigrew to another contract, they have a lot of weapons. And they have a backfield now, too.
Why do you need another one?
Because Stafford, obviously, with his statistics, it's still not getting done for him. He's still not taking the Lions to the playoffs. He's still throwing interceptions. He's still having rough years. This is their franchise quarterback. They're not going to wait any more longer for him. So this is, in my eyes, their last chance for Stafford to prove himself this year.
If Matthew Stafford, let's say the Lions didn't draft a tight end here. If Matthew Stafford couldn't be successful with the personnel that he had without Eric Ebron, then he does not need to be the starting quarterback.
Exactly
of the Detroit
my point.
Lions,
that's what
so
they're
why,
trying to do.
So why add another stone in the fire to try and say this is like you said, this is a pick to save his butt. This is all about his butt. Because he has no excuses now.
It's to show that he's really the quarterback he's hyped up to be.
He has no excuse now, especially with this addition. But I think this just makes things more complicated for the tight end position, if you ask me, because now you're paying Pettigrew a ridiculous amount of money for a new 4-year deal. Joseph Fourier is a guy who has shown that he's going to definitely contribute. He had a great rookie campaign, and now you throw in Eric Ebron in the mix. I mean, it just becomes too cluttered, if you ask me, with personnel that already is certainly intact. I mean, the Lions now have, in my eyes, the most weapons offensively than any other team in the entire NFL. I mean, when you got Megatron, you got Golden Tate now, you got a solid running back core, you know, when you talk about Reggie Bush and so on and so forth. And it just makes no sense to me to draft another weapon when you already have those in place and you have the 16th worst defense in the NFL. You gave up, and when you look at the stats here, you gave up you're eighth in the league when it comes to in yards per pass given up. I mean, you're eighth in the league. I mean, those are alarming needs compared to your offense that is relatively intact. I just don't get it, man. And you know what? When you talk about the history of tight ends in the NFL draft, this is another thing I looked at, guys. Owen Daniels, Brent Celek, Jermichael Finley, Jimmy Graham, Aaron Hernandez, Dennis Pita, Jordan Cameron, Julius Thomas, Jordan Reed. They are all outstanding tight ends. They have gone on to have great careers in the NFL. But every tight end on that list, you know what? We're taken in the third round or later. Not in the first round. Not in the first round. I just don't get it, man.
Yeah, and especially in a draft, like, I understand what Alex is saying, is that they're trying to get more weapons for Stafford. Because really, I mean, Chris Durham was lining up at the number two wide receiver spot last year, and that's a problem. He's not a number two wide receiver in the National Football League.
That's why you get Golden Tate.
Oh, no, I hear you there. But you always need one more guy because, you know, Golden Tate's one more step away from getting hurt and he's gone. But at the same time, this is one of the deepest drafts for wide receivers in a while. I mean, Marquise Lee is just sitting there in round two waiting to get picked. I mean, there's quality players later in the draft. And the holes on defense are so glaring. I mean,
like Swiss cheese, like, man. Holes everywhere.
You know, just think about plugging Shazier next to Stephen Tulloch and DeAndre Levy. Right. All of a sudden, the linebacking core that's kind of a question mark, that outside linebacker spot, is a strength. You know, I understand they have Sue and Fairley and Ansah.
Right.
Who is the other defensive lineman? Jason Jones?
Yeah,
that's not going to get anything
idea.
Done. Why wouldn't you take a shot at Aaron Donald? Because you look at what the Rams did. The Rams have the dirtiest D-line in football.
It's going to be
ugly. I mean, Robert Quinn, Chris Long,
impressive.
Michael Brockers, and Aaron Donald.
The Rams were all over that draft yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
It's stacked. It's going to be scary to play in them next year.
Terrifying.
I just don't get it, man. But, again, we'll take your calls on this the entire hour. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527, Matt.
Now, Al, real quick, who do you think had the best first round?
That's a good question. When you look at the overall body of work from each team in the draft, again, you know, I tell you what, Cleveland, they definitely made some moves here. And what do you think? Well, first of all, what do you think about the? Because you know, if you look at it, they got a cornerback in Justin Gilbert, who's great. I love Justin Gilbert. I think he's going to be a star, a stud in the league. Then you get a guy who can fill the seats in the draft, and Johnny Manziel. I really like what Cleveland did. They made a move. I believe what they traded with Philly, I think, to make that move.
Yep.
So I really like that. You know, the Rams, again, they definitely made some big picks here and there. It's tough. I haven't really sat down and looked at it. There was a lot of teams, though, there were a lot of head-shaking moves for me, too, that said, really? I just didn't get a lot of the picks. All of the draft predictions from, like, guys like Mel Kiper, and I saw Ray Lewis up there, and their predictions for the first, you know, 10 to 15 guys totally went out the window within the first 5 to 10 minutes of the draft. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I think we can safely put the mock draft to bed.
Please put it to bed.
It tells you nothing. Things change.
Right.
I mean, no, I don't think anybody had Blake Bortles going number three.
No, not at all. He was the first QB taken. That really shocked you.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Poor Jacksonville. What are they doing? But I think when you look at who's the big, I think it's got to be the Browns. And they were,
Cleveland.
You know, they were the biggest movers just in terms of swapping picks. I mean, they picked up Buffalo's first and fourth round picks next year.
Mm-hmm. That's
pretty
good.
Over the last 9 years, I was reading earlier, the Bills have yielded an average pick of number 9. So there is a very good chance Cleveland just picked up a top 10 pick in next year's draft to move down 5 slots and get the guy they were going to want anyway.
Yeah, it was definitely a good move.
It's crazy. And moving up to take, you know, Johnny Football, you draft him in a spot where he doesn't have the biggest expectations. You know, he's not a top 5 pick.
Right.
He gets that little chip on his shoulder because he fell to 22, and you don't have to pay him that much because he's a 22nd pick.
I think that's Johnny's perfect place to land.
That
was the perfect scenario for Johnny Football to land within that, you know, that 20 range, you know, because, I mean, now he has, like you say, he has that chip on his shoulder now, and if he was taken a little earlier, there would have been a lot of scrutiny, a lot of criticism there saying, okay, well, how good is he going to be?
Right.
The same scrutiny that he had before the draft even started. So now Johnny Football, he's got kind of the best of both worlds. He can call himself a first-round draft pick, but he can't call himself, you know, one of the guys who went in the top 10 or top 5. So there's still that added chip on his shoulder. I think Johnny Football is gonna turn a lot of heads and be a star. I was listening to Jim Rome coming in this morning, and there was a Cleveland fan, actually, who resides in Tennessee, and he absolutely hated the Johnny Football pick. And I think he might be the only guy from Cleveland or a Cleveland Browns fan that hated that pick because after the pick was made, if you remember, one of the reporters went on ESPN and said that it totally erupted in the city of Cleveland, wherever he was at. I believe it may have been somewhere near the stadium or something like that. A viewing party. And it seemed like somebody had just scored a touchdown in an NFL game. I mean, it was that loud. It was that joyous. And now Cleveland fans have something to look forward to when they go see a Cleveland Browns game.
Absolutely. Plus, it's a good situation.
It is.
I mean, he's got Josh Gordon. He's got Jordan Cameron. He's got weapons. They need a running back really bad, but I mean, maybe they go out and get Carlos Hyde in the second round. Who knows? They picked up some great players. They got another first-round pick next year. I think the only other team that could even be considered another winner to the same level as the Browns would maybe be the Vikings. And I guess, you know, it's a little unfair because they had two picks because they traded back into the first round, but I'm jealous. Anthony Barr is going to be a great player.
Oh, he's going to be great.
And in my eyes, they picked up the best quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Teddy, too, yeah. And you're talking about Cleveland, too. I mean, again, Justin Gilbert now, you know, teaming up with Joe Hayden to form one of the best cornerback tandems, I think, in the NFL. That's going to be interesting, man. So Cleveland, kudos to him. Hats off to him. Great moves made by them. And how about Darquez Renard, Cincinnati Bengals? He's going to be a great player. I was shocked how far he dropped.
Me too. I could Very not shocked. Believe he got past the Jets. He got yep. past
us.
Us, the Steelers.
Yeah, the Steelers,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, he just seemed like he would fit there. But when you look at him and you think about him in a Bengals uniform, that seems to fit. They have had a great right. defense over the last few years. I don't think anything's going to change. I think he's a great fit there.
I think he is too. So, all right. Well, let's hit the break. When we come back, we're going to talk to a young woman who has certainly been turning heads ever since she stepped on a track field back in high school. You don't want to miss that. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Oh boy, it's a frustrating Friday for me. TGIF. I'm still depressed about the Lions pick, okay? Still depressed. I'm happy about the Cowboys pick. I am a Cowboys fan. Glad they didn't choose Johnny Football. All right, well, it's Friday, folks. Friday, TGIF again. We're taking your calls throughout this entire hour. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. What did you think about the NFL draft? Curious to get your thoughts on that. Also, I'm very thankful for all you who tuned into Current Sports TV last night as I sat down with Greg Iani, who is the MSU Deputy Athletics Director, as he talked about the new projects up and coming as far as the MSU Spartan Stadium North End Zone project is concerned, and also the future projects that he has in store from the new LED lights at the Breslin Center to so much more. It was great sitting down with Greg yesterday. You can catch that episode right now on video.wkar.org. All right, well, let's shift gears really quick here on today's Current Sports. We have a great, great guest to bring to you. She grew up not too far from the friendly confines of Lansing, Michigan. Jackson, to be exact, had one outstanding track career at Jackson High School. She actually earned All-State at Jackson from 2007 through 2010. Actually won the 300-meter hurdles at States during her senior year. She is now a senior now on the MSU track and field squad. It's my pleasure to welcome Jalen Pryor to Current Sports. How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to the show. Now, Jay, let's go back in time because you have a local feel here when it comes to Mid-Michigan. Growing up in Jackson, Michigan, born and raised there. First of all, how did you start running?
Well, I was introduced to track. Both of my parents ran track. My dad played football and ran track here at Michigan State, and my mother ran track at Michigan, so I basically grew up with it.
Wow, so moms went to Michigan, U of M,
yes.
And pops went to MSU. How in the world did that love connection start? I'm
Well,
curious.
They ran track together in high school, so, I mean, they kind of knew each other then. Didn't really start until college, though. So.
Oh, nice. So they were high school sweethearts then?
No.
They weren't. So the love connection didn't start until college.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That is very good. Cool. So your daddy played on the MSU football team for how long?
Until 89. So he was at the Rose Bowl. Went to the Rose Bowl the last time.
Wow. It's pretty impressive. And mom's, how did her track career turn out at U of M?
It went pretty decent.
Pretty good. So it's a family of athletes. That's
yeah.
great stuff.
She started off at Iowa, though. And then she transferred to Michigan.
Did she?
So
okay, so it runs in your blood right now. And, you know, it's pretty cool because your sister, Sierra Pryor, is also a track star. She comes here from Jackson High School, had an outstanding high school career out in Jackson. She was actually on billboards, I know. I was driving one day and said, oh, my gosh, that's Sierra Pryor.
So jealous.
On a billboard. I mean, you guys being a sister tandem now here at MSU, both on the track team, what advice did you give her coming to MSU?
Definitely listen to your coaches and just continue to work hard. I mean, coaches know what they're doing, and they will have your best interest in mind. So just basically follow that path. As far as school, just keep head on straight and don't go too crazy here.
Yeah, I can definitely get caught up in that. Now, Sierra, how is she doing in her freshman campaign with the team?
She's still adjusting. She started off in the sprint squad, actually. So she was a sprinter doing long jump, but now she's all long jump and she does sprints occasionally. So she's kind of flip-flopped.
Gotcha. Okay,
well, that's adjusting.
Good. She's still adjusting now. Okay, now, I got to ask you guys, because, you know, following you guys on Twitter and Instagram and whatnot, I see that the injury bug has certainly been one of hindrance, especially in your career, Jay. I mean,
yes.
I want to talk about how has your career gone? Take it from freshman year now to senior year and the amount of injuries you've had to deal with.
My freshman year wasn't too bad. It was just more so the training that was like shin splints and all that my freshman sophomore year. But junior year is really when I had like the big injury with my groin, and that didn't happen until around nationals. So I still competed at nationals regardless of the injury. I'm like, I'm here already, so let's just go with it. This year has been a little worse than that.
It has.
Oh, it definitely has. I got injured in like October, so I didn't really have to do any of the fall conditioning because I was out.
And what injury was that? How did that happen?
That was my groin as well.
Okay.
It's like kind of like a recurring injury because I'd injured it before, the year before, as I just said. So, yeah, just kind of stayed a little longer this time until like January. Then I finally got back to the spikes. Got to compete at a few meets indoor just before Big Ten. So kind of at the same state again. Like, I injured my hamstring this time around.
Wow.
So I've been out, and tomorrow is actually my first meet back. So
wow!
And so, Big Tens are next weekend.
Oh my goodness, that's a roller coaster ride right there. Now, have you had a full season, a full healthy season with the team at all?
Yes.
You've been here. You had. What year was that?
My freshman year.
Freshman year, sophomore, junior.
Sophomore year does still count. I didn't get injured until I was at nationals, but I still competed.
Okay, you still compete. So you made it all the way to nationals.
I still count that.
Okay, you still count that.
Injury-free season.
Nice. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here at Current Sports, we are talking with Jaylen Pryor. She's quite the athlete. She's an MSU sprinter and hurdler for the MSU track and field team. Now, Jay, for you, we've had this conversation multiple times. Matt, Alex, and I, and countless callers have weighed in. Something that's so interesting to me is how an athlete deals with injuries and the mental stress and the mental hindrance it can have when you're out there trying to get healthy. Because we saw with Keith Appling. Keith Appling's been a conversation day in and day out here on the show. Keith Appling went from a guy who at the beginning of the season, National Player of the Year talks, Big Ten Player of the Year talks. He goes down to North Carolina game, injures his wrist, and is totally not the same guy at all in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
As a college athlete, one who has gone through the injury bug, what does an injury do to you mentally? And what is the struggle like trying to get over that mental hurdle?
Dealing with injury definitely is hard. You have the injury, and you kind of feel like you are at a major setback. You know, everybody else is still training and still competing, and you're kind of just sitting back there like, man, I'm not out there, so I'm like wasting precious time that you know everyone else is using. And so when I finally get back out there, I'm like kind of nervous for tomorrow, honestly, so I don't know how it's going to go. It's like my first meet back. Hopefully this can be the best season opener I've had in four years, so...
Is it always in the back of your head that this injury could happen again? And do you go all out? It's always in the back of your head, right?
Even today at practice this morning, you know, it's still bugging a little bit. So it's like,
I mean, ease up a little bit. So you go like 90%. You don't go 80%. So you can't go all out like you want to because you're afraid in a way, right?
That being afraid to injure yourself will definitely cause you to injure yourself. You have to go out there as if, I mean... Obviously, be smart about it. Like, you are injured a little bit, but you have to go out there like nothing is wrong and run normally. Like, you can't, if you run with tension, like you're going to hurt yourself,
you're going to
hurt yourself because you're running tight and
you're
going to pull something. So,
Got to stay loose.
Stay relaxed and keep your poise.
So, with Sierra, what exactly happened to Sierra? Because I saw her posting some injury pictures too. I'm sitting there like, whoa, my goodness.
This is the same thing that's been happening since her senior year of high school, you know. Her whole story where she injured her ankle in basketball, kind of like how I did.
Right.
She ended up having to switch her jump foot, so she jumps off her left foot now.
She's that good where she just switched just like that.
Knocked it out.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty impressive. So is she competing right now, or what's the status
of her? Yeah, she's still competing. She's still taking care of that foot, so that ankle.
Now, Jay, I got to ask you, growing up in a household where you got track stars everywhere, mom and pop's track stars at U of M and Michigan State, then you guys are just tearing it up in high school, both going to play, to run, at Michigan State University. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's that household like? What advice does your parents give you? What advice did they give you growing up? And what's the competition like between you and your sister? Because I know you guys got to go at it, right?
In the house, you know. My mom was my coach in middle school. My dad was my coach in high school and middle school.
So he was a coach at Jackson?
Yeah, he was the head coach. He still is the head coach. So he coaches my brother now. So,
what's that like, having your dad as your coach?
It's actually pretty amazing, you know?
Is it? Is it weird at all?
No, I still call him dad on the track, not coach. Not
Does he
coach.
Yell at you at all? No, he doesn't. Because I remember I did a piece on Denzel Valentine when Denzel, of course, guard for MSU's men's basketball team. One of my first stories as an intern was talking with Denzel about, you know, having his dad as a coach. And he said, yeah, it's kind of weird at times, but his dad enforced a 24-hour rule where if he does go off on him in practice, we don't speak about it in the car. We don't speak about it at home or at dinner for 24 hours. Then they may address it. But none of that. That's never gone down.
Nah, I'm not. I'm not really too tight about it. So I don't need the 24-hour rule.
Okay, there you go. Well, that's good. That's a good mentality to have. So with you and Sierra now, what's the competition like between you guys?
We're in separate events, so it's so hard. Everyone's always asking, who's faster? Who's faster? You know, I will get her in that 400.
Okay.
And the 200, that's yours. The 200 would be kind of close. I'll put up a fight.
Right, right.
I think I could still get her.
So it's hard to compare with you guys. So you guys really don't compete out there then because you guys are in two different events.
Yeah.
That's great stuff. All right, well, I tell you what, tomorrow, in preparation for the Big Ten Championships next weekend, the MSU track and field team, they will be competing sparingly this weekend at the Last Chance Meet hosted by GVSU, Grand Valley State University. Now, members of the team will look to look for NCAA East Regional qualifying marks or to earn a spot on the conference meet roster. Jay, how important is this weekend's meet?
It is very important. This weekend will determine, like, you know, who competes at Big Tens. I mean, most of the people already have their spot already, but as far as myself, like, I haven't competed in the 400 hurdles all year. So this is my season opener with 400 hurdles, and it'll basically show where I'm at as far as, you know, the race and what I'll be able to do next weekend and just preparation for next weekend. So
how nervous are you?
I am so nervous.
Are you?
I am so nervous.
So yeah, it's good because, you know, normally when I asked athletes, I'm like, okay, it's a big game coming up. Are you nervous at all? And they're like, no, you know, it's just like another day, game by game, meet by meet. But you're honest with me. So why are you nervous? What are you nervous about?
It's my senior year. That's like the biggest thing. It's like, I have no idea like what this is going to go like. I have not trained as far as like outdoor because I've been hurt with the hamstrings, and then with indoor, I had the groin.
Right.
So it's like my training this whole year has been like real low, but I got to go out there confident, you know. I still know that I'm Jalen Pryor, so.
Tooting her own horn, some cockiness over the airwaves.
I'll go out there and
there you go.
Do what I do best, the 400 hurdles.
Ladies, just if you know Jay, she's so competitive, and she thinks she's the best in everything. I'm just telling you, she's got the eye of the tiger. I'm sure you'll do well tomorrow. Don't fret. Folks, again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on the show, we're talking with Jalen Pryor. She is an outstanding athlete, MSU sprinter and hurdler for the MSU track and field team. So I got to ask you, Jay, looking at this season for you guys, as it dwindles down now, you start to get in postseason, into the postseason meet type of feel. How would you assess this season so far, and how do those postseason hopes look?
The team is actually looking really great this year. I'd say Michigan State is more of an outdoor team. Our girls are actually ranked first in the region.
I saw that.
Going in, so
44th nationally, first in the region. Yeah.
Yes. Everyone is peaking at the right time, so I am so pumped for Big Tens. We have our 4x1 PR, you know, hitting their PRs, and you have multiple people in the 5K and the 1500. The 10,000, like the distance side is covered. They're good. You know, the sprint side, we're definitely there. Like, we're definitely showing up this outdoor season. So I am so excited to come together as a whole and see how we perform as a team at Big Tens.
Nice. That's exciting stuff. And, you know, I got to, because we had Walt Drenth on the show like two or three weeks ago. And Walt is such a very classy guy and wants the best for his team. And he's always positive. He always looks at the glass half full rather than half empty. And, you know, I want to ask you, how is he as a coach, you know, as a head coach, and also the rest of the coaching staff like Randy Gillen and Vanita Kennard, who I'm sure that you guys work very closely with?
Yeah. They're actually really supportive. They always have our best interests in mind. They'll never stick us in an event if they don't think we'll be successful in it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they know us, you know. We kind of work together to pull out the best in each other. And
how is his coaching style? Is he kind of an in-your-face guy or kind of a laid-back, chill, calm, cool,
Coach
calm,
Drent? Collected?
Yeah, Coach Drent.
I rarely see him, you know, because he's working with, like, the distance runners.
Right.
So
okay.
I'm primarily with Coach Gillen, and he's almost
intense.
Like, yeah. He's not bad, though. Like, he never, like, yells at us. Like, he's just a really great coach, you know?
Right.
I really appreciate him, you
know?
In
his eighth year, I believe, right now.
Yes.
He's doing a great job. All right. Well, Jay, as you now, again, you talk about your senior year, a lot of nerves, a lot of bubble guts before this meet here, okay? I got to ask you, when your career is done here, when this season is finished, how do you want to close out your track and field career?
On top.
On
that
top.
Is for sure. Big Tens, you know, next weekend. I'm really looking to get on that podium again. You know, I was on there in my sophomore year last year. I was still in the finals, but it didn't go so great. But this year, hopefully, get back up on that podium again this year and then make it to regionals and nationals again. So, you know.
Got to stay optimistic.
Leave the senior year with a bang.
How is the health right now if you had to go from 0 to 100% right now?
Right now, I say I'm about a 95.
Oh, that's close.
Yeah.
That's close.
I'm almost there. I'm almost there.
Almost there.
Almost there.
All right. Well, on the behalf of everybody here at Current Sports, we wish you and the entire MSU track and field team good luck as you guys close out the season. There you have it. MSU sprinter and hurdler, Jalen Pryor. Jay, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We'll talk a little Donald Sterling, yeah, we're still talking about him. And Kobe Bryant, Reflection Friday as well. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
One goes out to all the lovers. What can we do? We'll help this romantics. We cannot help.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, 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 oh.
Yeah. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, Matt Lucky now joins us back on the show, and some interesting stories here and there to close out the week, Matt. You know, I heard this story, and it really kind of surprised me because it really kind of throws a pickle into this whole Donald Sterling situation because, of course, the NBA wants to kind of, obviously with the punishment they handed down to Donald Sterling, banning him from the NBA for life, fining him the maximum amount that you can fine anybody in the league. But now this kind of throws a pickle into their plan to sort of wash their hands completely of the Sterling family, simply due to the fact that Donald Sterling's wife, she wants to maintain ownership of the team, despite her husband's quarrels, if you will, with the Clippers. I found this story to be very interesting because now I feel as though the NBA kind of gets what it deserves in this regard. Let's say that, you know, she is allowed to own still a portion of the team and doesn't sell the team, and her name is still affiliated with the Clippers. First of all, no one will ever forget. This story was so big. No one will ever forget about what Donald Sterling said and just the Sterling story and how it pertains to the NBA and that franchise. It was so big, no one will ever forget it. This story will be talked about from years and years down the line. Now, it complicates the NBA's goal of washing its hands completely. In a way, a minor punishment, in my eyes, for the NBA, not dealing with the Sterling situation and alleviating it before this hit the fan and it got to this point. So if she does, I kind of laugh at it and say, ha ha, you kind of got what you deserve in a way.
Well, you know, to me, it just sort of seems like the Sterling family is kind of like the Jason Voorhees to the NBA's, you know, teen protagonist. It's just like a supervillain that you will never be able to kill. They're going to fight this tooth and nail until the very end. I mean,
Right.
In the days just after the scandal broke, Mrs. Sterling came out and said, "I am not a racist."
Right, yeah.
Didn't speak for her husband.
Nope.
Just clearing her own name.
Exactly.
Donald Sterling wasn't at Game 5. Sherry, is that her name? Shelly?
Shelly, I believe.
Shelly Sterling.
Yeah,
Shelly,
yeah.
She was at Game 5 in a booth, or in a box, rather.
Yep.
She also said today she wouldn't want to really control the team. She just wants that part ownership. She said she would bring in, or hope that they would bring in, like a new kind of management side of the ownership.
She still wants
spectrum
to be affiliated with the,
exactly,
the franchise.
It kind of seems like she still wants the status of being the Clippers owner.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's what it boils down to. And, you know, and again, if you're the NBA execs, if I'm looking at this, I'm saying, oh my goodness, really, dude? Because this is such a sticky situation, and it caused such an uproar. In a situation like this, you want the Sterling name
alleviate
gone
as completely far away as possible.
Exactly. Yeah. And this does not allow it to do that. And again, the NBA, they kind of created this monster and it eventually hit the fan. So it's kind of a minor punishment, if you will. If she does decide to still keep her ownership with the Clippers and the Sterling name still has some relevance to this franchise, it's kind of a minor punishment for everything that they allowed for all those years from Donald.
Yeah, and you have to think that there's going to be a lot of pressure put on her if she does decide to fight it.
It is.
Just from, you know, the kind of the court of public opinion. Even though, you know, she didn't say these things, her husband did.
Right.
They have an odd relationship anyway, obviously, since he made the comments to his girlfriend.
Yeah. You know, that situation is so weird because V. Stiviano, she came out and denied that she was Sterling's girlfriend, but there's other reports to suggest that she was, and all this time Donald is still married. And it's so funny. I don't know if you saw the interview with Floyd Mayweather, but Floyd, on the eve of his fight, he was asked, you know, about his Clippers ownership and whatnot, and he was like, you know, I have no quarrels with Donald. You know, I was invited multiple times to sit next to Donald and his wife, not his mistress, and everybody starts dying laughing. I don't know anything about his mistress, so that was pretty funny. But, you know, it's just a complicated situation. I think V. Stiviano, looking at the press, the amount of press this has gotten from Inside Edition to Entertainment Tonight and so on and so forth, other entertainment outlets, she's smart. She's very smart when it comes to she's getting a lot of recognition off of this and getting a lot of high profile interviews. She sat down with Barbara Walters. She's
making,
an instant celebrity.
Making those weird visors.
Yeah, the weird visors.
She looks like she wants to try out for Daft Punk.
Yeah, this
yeah,
has become
no, it's
a
weird
circus now.
Yeah.
And she's become, you know, she's trying to get her name out there and possibly get paid off this. And we've seen multiple celebrities do the same. This might turn into a reality TV show.
Oh, she's gonna ring the 15 minutes for as long as she can.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. It's another Kim Kardashian story with a different feel to it, though. No, no tape. No tape, though, here. All right, folks.
Please, no tape.
We've seen that story many, many times. All right, well, Kobe Bryant, folks. Kobe Bryant. This is another interesting story, Matt. Kobe Bean Bryant says that he wants in on the hiring of the Los Angeles Lakers new coach. He's hoping to have more say this time because he says he was not included in the last two search committees. This didn't surprise me. A friend of mine shot me a text like, why in the world is Kobe concerned with who's the next coach going to be? Well, and I said, why are you surprised? This is Kobe Bryant, for goodness sake. Kobe Bryant has his hands on everything when it comes to the Lakers organization. And frankly, if Kobe's not happy with the head coach, the entire Lakers organization is going to be happy with the head coach, which surprised me. It surprised me that he didn't have a say in the last two coaches who were hired. That shocked me.
It is surprising, and I think he's going to get his way because, like you said, if he doesn't, he's going to make a big stink about it. You have to have a feeling that Kobe is not going to go quietly into retirement.
No.
Now, whether that means he's going to have a great career with the new coach or just badmouth whoever they bring in if he's not involved in the selection process until that guy gets fired and then he finally retires. I mean, it just seems like he's going to find a way to keep his name out there, to keep being Kobe Bryant.
Right.
Because
exactly.
even though he might not be that same player anymore, he's definitely still going to be the same personality.
Right.
And I think that is trouble for the Lakers because
he's
getting up there. He's only got a few years left in the tank. And he's still going to consider himself the franchise player, both in, you know, off-court kind of publicity and on-court performance, when really it's quite likely that his on-court performance takes a bit
down.
Of a nosedive.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, anytime you talk about him coming off Achilles injury that he had, and you know, trying to come back and then immediately gets injured with the knee. Kobe Bryant, I will be shocked. It would take a miracle for him to be the type of player he was before the injury, which it won't happen. I don't think it will happen. Kobe's going to have to take a back seat, kind of, and they need to surround him with players who can help him out. That's the big thing here. A lot of moves have to be made. First, you got to find a coach who can steer the franchise in the right direction, and then you have to turn to the ownership to make the right moves to surround Kobe Bryant with a lot of help, more specifically offensive help, because right now the Lakers are just atrocious offensively and defensively too.
I mean, I was going to say, they're just atrocious all around the board.
It's all around right now. This franchise is just certainly in the dump. So, but yeah, I mean, it's not surprising though. Kobe, I mean, we've seen him voice his concerns when it comes to coaches in the past. If Kobe's not happy, the franchise isn't happy. And I think he was a little salty, to be honest with you, when Phil Jackson went to New York and decided to take over the reins there as far as the GM position was concerned, or the ownership was concerned. Well, not the ownership, the president position was concerned, because, you know, he knew that Phil would return to the game, and he wanted him to come back to the Lakers and try to lead this franchise to another title, possibly. That didn't happen, and now I don't know who would want to go to the Lakers right now. So
I sure wouldn't.
I wouldn't either. I mean, I may want to go to I may want to go to the Pistons more than the Lakers, but it's still L.A. It's still, and you got the opportunity to coach one of the greatest players to ever play. The Pistons are terrible. No one wants to go to the games.
That's a good question.
Still the Lakers here. You do have Andre Drummond,
if you stay
but
in
still
Detroit.
The Lakers. The story. The aura of the Lakers. It's just. It's something about L.A. You know.
That's true.
The living, you know, conditions there. I mean, something about L.A. If you ask me. But all right. Well, Reflection Friday. When we look back at some of our favorite stories throughout the week. Matt, start us off. What was your favorite story?
Well, I actually just read this morning, a little under the radar. Apparently, last night before Game 2 between the Blazers and Spurs, the Blazers found a snake in their locker room, and it scared about everybody. Just a snake slithering around.
Is there
doing
video
what he
this?
Does. I don't know if there's video. There's definitely pictures, though.
Slithering around.
Yeah, apparently. Spurs guard Danny Green is a collector of snakes, so the Blazers have him pegged as the number one suspect.
Oh, no, man.
But then it got me into this mode of just, you know, funny animals at sporting events. Do you remember in 2009 when Manu Ginobili swatted a bat out of the air?
I do. Oh,
at a Spurs
man.
Game?
Yes.
During the game.
During
bare
the
hand.
Game.
Just
bare hand.
Boom.
That was unbelievable.
It's crazy.
That is crazy stuff.
Wild things happen in San Antonio.
Yeah,
let me tell
without
you.
Without a doubt, man. Well, for me, Matt, you know, there's a lot of things have happened this week. It had to be for me. Yesterday, I believe we talked about it yesterday. I want to bring up, if I can go in here and try to sift through my notes. But yesterday, if you remember, a manager was on the phone, a baseball manager on the phone. He's on the side of the road. He's chatting. He's on the radio interview with Sports Talk Radio. They're interviewing him about the team. All of a sudden, the interview comes to an abrupt stop due to the fact that a high-speed police chase is going on right then and there, and he gets rear-ended, and the car pulls off, and the chase ensues, and you know the broadcaster asks him, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And he kind of jokes around with his hand, "I'm good." That to me was hilarious.
Yeah, he was just like,
scary,
"Oh wow,
hilarious.
Wait, hold on, this guy's hitting a bunch of people," and it's
right.
Just hilarious. It's giving a firsthand account of, you know,
yeah,
live breaking news.
I'm pretty sure there's audio of it. I haven't heard the audio. Have you heard the audio?
Oh, yeah. I've heard a little bit of it.
It's got to be pretty
cool. He keeps his cool.
He does.
Why he's driving and talking on his cell phone.
That's pretty impressive.
I don't know.
Pretty impressive stuff right there. All right.
Oh,
and of course, the NFL draft and the talk about Johnny Football. I enjoyed the conversation about Johnny Football. Of course, there's been callers out there who've called in on the show and said they're just tired of it, which I'm glad it's coming to an end now. I don't know if
right.
I could do another day of it, but, you know, I enjoy debating about Johnny Football and whether he'll be a hot commodity in the NFL and whether that success in college will transcend to the pros. I think he will be a very good player and turn a lot of heads. I think he'll be a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, well, you know, that's bold.
It is bold.
I still think Bridgewater is a better quarterback.
You do.
I do.
You like Teddy Bridgewater.
I love Teddy Bridgewater. I can't believe he fell as far as he did. I
think
the Vikings got a steal.
Yeah.
I do think Sal Palantonio is a little bummed out, though, because now he's got to practically live in Cleveland.
Yeah,
because he's always going to be, you know. Let's give it
that's
to Sal
true.
At Cleveland Browns headquarters. He's just going to be, like, you know, sad. He used to get to be
there.
In New York, you know,
right.
And now he's going to Cleveland.
Cleveland,
but
Ohio, baby.
That's okay. Now, Al, I want to ask you.
Yeah.
You hated the first pick for the Lions.
Hated it.
They have number 45.
They do.
Who would you like to see them take? if anybody.
I tell you what, man, they got to go defense. If they don't go defense, my television will be on the side of the road in shambles. It will just be thrown out of my apartment. I will be so upset if they do not go with a corner or go with a linebacker or a safety. Something to address the secondary holes that is on this team. I think they will go defense here. I think, you know, reading a few reports here, you know, when they made the selection to select Ebron, of course, there was a viewing type of thing in Allen Park, I believe. And, you know, Jim Caldwell, he addressed the media and he really liked the pick. But there was a lot of pressure from the board to make this decision. This was a sexy pick for the Lions because offense does sell tickets at the end of the day. And, you know, when you talk about your quarterback, Matthew Stafford, who we've seen shades of a lot of potential there, but to see how he closed out the season, there was a lot of question marks in the air. And this is a pick to save face for him. I'm sticking with my guns with that because they didn't need this pick. But I think they will go defense. If they don't, they are idiots, period.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think they have to go defense.
You got some
a
names?
A name I'm seeing, you know, I'm reading this Sports Illustrated mock draft. They have them taping Coney Ealy out of Missouri. He's a defensive end.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind that. A few picks later, though, they actually have the Cowboys taking Rashid Hageman from Minnesota.
Really, from Minnesota? Okay.
I would love to see the Lions draft him.
Yeah,
he's listed as a defensive tackle, but he's 6'6". You could put him on the front line and just do some fun, creative things. I think we've gotten to the point in the NFL where just because you're a defensive end doesn't mean you have to only line up on the edge.
Right.
And you know, and come off, you know, with your hand on the ground. I think defensive coordinators have gotten creative enough that if you have a talented player, you can find a way to make him effective. So who cares if you have, you know, technically three starting D tackles.
Right.
If one of them is like basically a prototype defensive end.
Yeah,
I think you can move guys around. Put Sue on the edge. I mean, you can do some creative things.
You can.
And have a little fun with it. They need an extra rusher, though.
They do. They need. This is the thing here. They need an extra pass rusher to help out Fairley and Sue. Once they get that, I think that'll certainly be intact. I don't know why he didn't do it in the first round, but hey, I'm putting it to bed now.
Not GMs, Al.
That's why. That's why we're sitting here behind a mic. Alex, what was your favorite story, man, really quickly?
Had to be the NFL draft.
NFL
draft. The Johnny Football thing, where some of the Spartans will go. And even Matt said it at the beginning of the week. Where will Michael Sam go? Mm. That, for me, I'm looking for. Special thanks to Jalen for coming in. She was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely. And I'm interested to see where Bulla goes, too. Max Bulla.
Yeah, me too. And I don't know, did you guys watch the ESPN broadcast last night?
I did.
Did you get a chance to hear John Gruden gushing over Johnny Manziel?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
No,
The Buccaneers pick, and John Gruden said something along the lines of, I'm going to have to go back and get my season tickets in Tampa Bay because they got him taken away when I got fired. And it's just like, so funny. He just gushing over Johnny Football.
I heard
hilarious.
He said the word fired about twice. Two times. Oh, I definitely turned my head to the TV. I'm like, whoa, hold on. He seems a little salty here.
Gotta love John Gruden.
Oh, gotta love him, man. All right. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in today's Current Sports. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, WKR East Lansing. Have a fantastic weekend, folks. It's Friday. It's a rainy Friday. Put a smile on your face. The weekend, it's Mother's Day. Shout out to my mom. Have a fantastic weekend and be easy, people. They want us to-